Federal investigation continues into LaToya Cantrell, and we may get an indictment this week. And, you know, it really is a shame. It's a shame that it comes to this, that a mayor, any mayor of our city, is under federal investigation. But Mayor Cantrell has been involved in things that I guess her ego told her she could get away with, but she can't necessarily get away with those things. Also, it's shameful that Bob Menendez, a Democrat senator who was recently convicted of all kinds of stuff, bribery and using his office to make money, you know, again, as I mentioned, you know, as if being a senator isn't a cush enough job. You know, you got a lot of money. I mean, not a lot, but I mean, if you're going back and forth between two cities, I mean, you do get a lot of perks like offices, and there's money to hire staff and things like that. And I think you make just under $150,000 a year. That's not bad. I mean, it's not good when you think about the millionaires on Capitol Hill, but, you know, that's good money. And then you've got all the perks that go along with that. And Bob Menendez just felt like, well, you know, I can make a little extra money here. So, hey, what do you need? You need a favor? Okay, give me some money. I'll give you the favor. This is disgusting. And this is what the politicians do to us, Republicans and Democrats. But I could be wrong here. But if Bob Menendez is allowed to retire, and he's going to retire, if he's allowed to retire, does he still get his pension? Does he still get all the perks that come with retiring? What if they would have fired him because he was convicted? So in other words, here's a guy who got away with it. As far as I know, he still got the money that he got illegally. He's been convicted. So what? He's been convicted. Does he go to jail? I don't know. He should. But he's allowed to retire. I think that's just I think that's a shame. So there are some Olympians who have arrived in Paris. The opening ceremonies for the 2024 Olympics in Paris open up Friday night. There are cardboard beds for the athletes, and some believe that this is designed to make the beds so fragile that they're only strong enough for one person. In other words, they're not good for sex. It would not be a good foundation for intimate relations with the athletes. And as I said earlier, you know, these athletes, you know, they're young. They've got great bods. You know, there's going to be a lot of sex that goes on in the Olympic Village. And I'm sure they're going to find ways to get around it. But what I find interesting is that there's video and pictures of these young Olympians. They're testing out the beds. They're jumping on them to see if the beds can withstand maybe two people being on the beds. So basically, the beds seem to be strong. I mean, I think there's going to be a mattress there, but the bed itself is cardboard, and it seems like it's strong enough to withstand two in the bed, maybe even three, but that's a topic for another show. Also, organizers of the Olympics are providing 300,000 condoms for the athletes staying in the Olympic Village. All right, we were running late last hour. We've got the Tuesday text-off coming up, going into the break about 3:20. I've got some new numbers, new polling numbers on Trump versus Harris. So this is a Harris Forbes poll, not Kamala Harris, but the organization. It's a Harris X Forbes poll. Trump has a 9-point lead, 50-41, over Kamala Harris. Among likely voters, it's an 11-point lead, 51-41. In a Quinnipiac University poll of registered voters, Trump is at 49 and Harris is at 47. When you add in a third-party candidate, it changes a little bit. Harris does a little better when you add a third-party candidate in, meaning the third-party candidate must be taking a little bit more from Trump. But again, you know, it's July. The Democrats haven't had their convention yet. These numbers don't really matter yet, but it's just interesting to kind of follow along and see where everybody is at this point. All right, we've got some calls to get to, and let's go to the West Bank. And Sean, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Scoot.
Yeah.
Hey, Scoot.
Yes.
Look here, I'm going to tell you like this, man. I'm a registered independent like you. And I like some of Donald Trump's policies, but I could never vote for him. I was planning on sitting this one out. But now since Harris in the race, I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris, and she's going to beat Trump. You all going to be surprised. Harris is going to beat Trump. Oh, I don't want her to cool it down with it. I want her to get there and tell it like it is, man. The guy is a liar, a bullier, a convicted felon. He's just a bad man. Look how he done his vice president, Mike Pence.
Yeah.
You know how he turned against him. Trump is a bad, and then they're talking, all his followers talking, but it's going to be a civil war. They're not scaring anybody that, man.
Yeah, there's not going to be a civil war. Nobody needs to worry. There's not going to be a civil war.
They're not scaring anybody with that. They're a bunch of bullies, bro. A bunch of... I don't know. I like his policies now. I'm not going to lie.
But you like his policies. So why are you voting? Why would you vote for Kamala Harris if you like Donald Trump's policies?
Well, I think I don't like Donald Trump.
Okay.
I like his policies, but I don't like him. There are
a lot of people who don't like Donald Trump. They like his policies, but they are voting for him. But you can't do that.
Oh, no, I couldn't vote for him. I was going to sit it out, man. If him and Biden was going to be in there, I was going to sit it out. I wasn't going to vote for none of them.
All right, well, Sean, we're going to see what happens. I think Biden getting out of the race is adding a lot of excitement. As I mentioned yesterday, the Democrat convention, which is August the 19th through the 22nd in Chicago, if Sleepy Joe was going to be the nominee, this was going to be a sleep fest. But now it's going to be must see TV. Let's go to Algiers. Hey, Tony, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Hey, my friend. Hey, thank you so much with that last female caller that you had and everything else. Appreciate the support that you was giving on both sides of the spectrum on that, okay?
Thank you.
In regards to racism, she needs to understand that others like her needs to understand, and that seems to be the issue. You know, when I walk the streets, or when I'm out and about, she doesn't know the count of encounters that I have to have. I have to be on guard at all times for being accused of something, for getting a gun pulled on me. And she can't relate because that's never happened to her or others like her. You know what I'm saying? She thinks that, you know, all police officers are Boy Scouts, and they are not.
No, they're not.
You know, and I love police officers. I'm very supportive of police officers. But I've ran into some good, and I've definitely run into some bad ones. Well, and this the latest issue that was on the television with the police officer being convicted for shooting the lady with the coffee pot. I mean, his own department determined that, and they dismissed him. So that's the charges. So she needs to look at that to understand that, hey, until you walk in the shoes, start believing what's happened. Don't say, I don't believe that they would do that. I don't believe what black people say. You must have done something that caused the police to react that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's definitely not true. You can see it on both sides and everything else, encounters. But the thing about it that's encountering we're seeing more of now is assault on black women. I mean, violent assaults. I mean, you see it on social media with the woman getting punched in the face as if she was a man. A lady dragged on the street. She's 5'2", being dragged by her hair by a police officer, and he outweighs her by 100 pounds.
Unfortunately, what really bothered me about the call from Covington from that woman is that she's not really listening to what I'm talking about. She's not really listening to the show. She's selectively picking out things. For somebody to call this show and accuse me of only talking about right-wing radicals when I constantly, maybe I don't do it every time, but it would just be too burdensome to do it every time. I am constantly differentiating between right-wing radicals and Republicans and conservatives and rhinos. They're two different groups. And if we talk about a group that doesn't define you, then don't take it personally. And I'm not saying that you're part of the group. And for somebody to suggest that I'm always bringing up race and making the police look bad, I constantly talk about the importance of calling out the bad cops so we can support the good cops. If you don't call out the bad cops, then they all get lumped in together into one group, and that's not fair. And yes, there are bad black cops, and there are bad white cops, and there are good white cops and good black cops. And, you know, sometimes there's a situation, and based on the information, and we may find out differently later, but sometimes it's obvious that a white officer was motivated by race. I'm sure there are cases where black officers are motivated by race, but I don't have the information to bring that forward if it doesn't hit the mainstream media. And if it doesn't hit the mainstream media, then that's an issue unto itself. And so, you know, we can deal with that at another time. If you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We'll get to all of your calls. And also, Ian has got those text messages coming up. All right. Here is today's text off. We got song A and song B, and you, the audience, get to decide which is better. So what we generally do is we have a cover and an original, and you decide which is better. Sometimes the original wins, sometimes the cover wins. We've got song A and song B. Depending on which song you think is the best, text A or B to the Oaken Heart text line, which is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Here is song A. All right, and here is song B. So depending on which song you think is the best, text A or B to the Oaken Heart text line, 504-260-1870. Here's song B. Okay, right now, text A or B to the Oaken Heart text line. Which song did you think was the best? Song A or song B? Text A or B to 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. We'll have the results coming up. I'm Scoot, and this is WWL. There is a new information out showing that inflation is causing teenagers to go into the workplace, and not to earn money for themselves, but to help the families make ends meet. This is according to the U.S. Department of Labor. The jobs report in June, people ages 16 to 19, 37.4% are now currently in the workforce. And that's big. That's up 3% from the same time last year. Might not seem like a lot, but it is a lot. And it's hovering near levels that have not been seen since 2009, which was during the Great Recession. So teens in the workplace who typically take seasonal jobs are there now because they need to help families earn money. You know, that's got to be tough. I mean, I think about when I was a teenager and I was working for my spending money. But I can't imagine how tough that would be if you're, you know, trying to just help the family make ends meet. So really, you know, so some people are in tough times. And I tell you, when you're in tough times, you're not going to vote for the administration that's in office. You're going to vote for the other person, whoever that other person is. In this case, it's Trump. And it's just really interesting that inflation is causing more teenagers to work. All right, let's get the results of the Tuesday text off. We did this in the 3 o'clock hour, running late last hour. The song was Take On Me. And the band AHA, which had that great, great video, very innovative video with animation and live action, the song was a one-hit wonder for the band AHA. And AHA was the winner, that song A. Song B was the big loser. And is Joe Cardozzi in the in the traffic center? Joe, you're with us?
Oh, I'm still here, skanking
Joe,
away.
I know you tried to kind of influence the voting by saying Real Big Fish rules. And I think it's impressive that you knew that was Real Big Fish. That's cool.
Yeah, I've got some bad tattoos from the 90s.
Yeah, okay. All right, listen, Real Big Fish was the big loser. Song B lost, and here's Real Big Fish. I like this version of the song. I liked it. Real Big Fish is a ska band.
See, this is when they lose me.
Well, this part was not good.
It's the chorus. It should be good.
Yeah, this part was not good. But, man, the guitar licks in the background, that ska beat, I liked it. But that was Song B. Song B was the loser. Song A, AHA, the original was the big winner of the text off. All right, Gen Z influencers are now saying that Donald Trump's selection for Vice President J.D. Vance, quote, he has what it takes to win over my generation. Here's a guy who is totally strict when it comes to a woman's reproductive rights. And Gen Z thinks this guy is the guy to take over that generation. I mean, I see him as the opposite. Ian brought this up earlier. J.D. Vance really supports the Trump voters. He's not a vice presidential pick that expands the appeal of the candidate. He is bringing in, and really, I don't know if he's bringing in new voters, but he's continuing to bring in the typical Trump supporters. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but he's appealing to the Trump supporters, not new people. And quite often, a vice presidential pick is selected, not because they're best to take over the country, should something, God forbid, happen, but they're selected because of appeal, because broadening the appeal of the ticket. And I don't think J.D. Vance broadens the ticket. I'm really surprised to hear these Gen Z influencers say that that's somebody that can appeal to their generation. Very quickly, I want to mention this this news. You know, we see the ships come in and out of the port of New Orleans all the time. I've been on one cruise. I loved it. I want to go on another cruise really soon. Think about this. The Ritz-Carlton is announcing a luxury ship. They're going to have a ship. The Luminara is going to be the name of the ship. It's going to launch in 2025, next year. 794 feet, considered the largest and most impressive part of its fleet. I didn't know Ritz-Carlton had these luxury ships. I mean, Ritz-Carlton is a five-star hotel. And so now they're going to put this five-star hotel on the water. 226 suites, private ocean view terraces, and a lot more. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, I love cruises. But, you know, I guess they feel like that there are enough lower-end cruises for people, and so now some of the upper-end cruises are appealing to, I guess, a new group of cruisers. Hey, let me mention, in the WWL Dudley DeBossier Injury Lawyers Contest, throw your fours up. It's a chance to win four Saints season tickets for every home game. It's the Saints season four-pack. You need four words. Tommy gives out a word in the 8 o'clock hour, Newell in the 11 o'clock hour. Our word comes out in the 2 o'clock hour. Sports Talk's going to have a word coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. You take all four of those words, it makes a phrase. You take that phrase, go to our website, WWL.com, and you can use that phrase to register to win the Saints season four-pack. The word for our show this hour is, or this afternoon, is touchdown. Touchdown is the word, so add that word to the list. All right, let's get to a few of your calls, then we'll get to Ian with some text messages. Let's go to Springfield and Roderick. Roderick, you're on WWL.
Yes, good. How you doing this evening?
I'm good.
Good, good. I want to discuss the shooting that took place with the woman in Springfield, Illinois. Any one of your listeners who was listening, they could do what I've done. I wasn't aware of it. I just learned of it on last night. When my wife called me and said I saw it on the news, I was out of the state, and I didn't. So when we got off the phone, I YouTubed, searched it, and there was the entire video encounter from both of the police officers' body cam. It was difficult to watch. This lady, they was beating on the door. She answered the door. Asked her what took her so long to come to the door. The officer that did the shooting, he asked her these questions. He was beating on the door really hard. His partner arrived at the home at the door first. He was just knocking on, just as you casually knock on someone's door. And he came over and said, "You're beating on the door like a baby." And he beat on it. Still, it took her a moment to come to the door. When she answered the door, he asked her, "What took you so long to come to the door?" The lady was getting ready to get in a tub. So when they entered the home, they sent her to a series of questions, but she called them, mind you, to something going on outside her home, and they did find a car in the alley with broken windows, but she didn't know anything about it. They claimed it wasn't her car. So they sent her to a series of, "Where's your ID? Where's the so they, the officer who was tapping on the door lightly, he asked her, "What does she have on the stove?" She was boiling a pot of water. And he said, "We don't want to start a fire while we're here. Need to get that off the stove." That's what put the woman in the kitchen. She was sitting on the sofa searching for her ID that the officer that beat on the door requested. That she got up and went in the kitchen to remove the pot from the stove. She got a towel, two towels. This pot is hot. She removed it from the stove. And at that time, the officer that shot her was the one pounding on the door. He yelled at her to put it out. Don't you throw that on, man. You take no water into the face. And she see this cop got a gun on her. And she ducked down behind the countertop. And when she re-arose, Scoop, she had her hands in the air. The pot was no longer in her hand. All you saw were the two rags that she used to remove that pot from the stove. woman was probably scared to death. All of a sudden, gun drawn on her, and he shot. Shot the woman in the eye. And his partner, they realized they had screwed up, man. And his partner asked him to go to his car to get the first aid kit, the one that shot her. And he said, oh, don't worry about that. There was a head shot, you know. Mm-hmm. And his partner eventually went, not the one did the shooting, the other officer went to the car he ran the first aid to her on the floor, got a towel, while the officer reluctantly went to his car to ask him to get some first aid from his car. He got a towel and was pressing it on this woman's wound while he was waiting for a partner to come back with first aid assistance. And he even said on his body cam, what's taking him so long? The guy was out there at the car freaking out, man. He knew he had messed up by shooting this woman.
Yeah. It also seems like this officer had some problems with his record in the past, and maybe he shouldn't have been a police officer. Roderick, I'm going to have to move on. A really sad story. I appreciate your description of that. One officer, I don't think, had his body cam on. The other one did. More information is going to come out about this, and we'll, you know, be talking about that probably more tomorrow as more information comes out. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to more of your calls coming up. And I promise we're going to go to Ian with your text messages coming up in just a few minutes. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2021, Morgan Wallen appeared on Good Morning America. He was going to address the use of a racial slur 6 months earlier. He said he was, quote, ignorant. He went to rehab to address his problem. Now, I guess this was a problem of maybe instinctively being a bit racist or loose with the N-word, or I think he was drinking at the time as well. Maybe it was about that. But Morgan Wallen donated $500,000 to a racial justice organization, and that was the amount that was estimated that he got from sales. That was the result, the increase in sales came from the controversy. So isn't it interesting, and we talked about this when it was happening, that Morgan Wallen used the N-word and his sales shot up. Why? Why? You know why, and I know why. We don't even have to say it. But I respect Wallen for donating the money that apparently came from the uptick in sales from the controversy. All right, if you want to join us, hang on. The Okunard Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. More of your calls and text coming up next. But use the N-word and your song's more popular than ever. Your album's more popular than ever. Why did that cause so many sales? Again, you know why and I know why. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1984, I remember where this happened, and I remember talking about this on the air. Vanessa Williams gave up her Miss America crown. This was midway through her reign as Miss America, after nude pictures of her appeared in Penthouse magazine. They were nude photos of her with another woman. Very artistic. Very pretty. I had to buy the magazine and look at them for research for the show. I mean, I actually had to study the pictures very closely so I could, you know, talk about it with some degree of knowledge. The controversy did not keep her from becoming a popular actress and singer. In 1991, she released a song that went to number one, Save the Best for Last, this song. The best thing to happen to Vanessa Williams was that she had those pictures released, and that she gave up her crown. If she had just been the first Black Miss America, that would have been an honor, and it would have been a big thing. But because of what happened, she turned out to be a bigger star than she would have been had those pictures not come out. Let's go to... Oh, no, wait. Before we get to your calls, we got to go to Ian with some of your text messages.
About an hour ago, we took a call from Karen in Covington, who got a lot of people talking on the text line. Here's one that says, what is it exactly that Karen and others like her think vice presidents do? Could anyone listening say what exactly a sitting vice president's duties are and how Kamala has succeeded or not succeeded, and compare that to Mike Pence, Joe Biden, Dick Cheney, and Al Gore?
They go to funerals. They go to funerals of state leaders who die. That is the big thing that vice presidents do. Now, she was in charge of the border. She was put in charge of the border by Joe Biden. And, you know, that was a Charlie Fox trot. So she's going to be attacked on that point.
Here's a text that says, "Dear Scoot, until the Supreme Court reversed Dobbs, I would have agreed with you that politics isn't personal. But when the life of my granddaughters, daughters, friends, and myself is jeopardized by the government meddling in a woman's body, that is more than personal. I can no longer ignore the real threat women have, and I will defend my sisters and their rights. Thanks."
Good, and I defend that too. And listen, I don't mean that politics doesn't have a personal impact on you. When I talk about personalized politics, I talk about how people are so sensitive that they take it personally if you have a different opinion. And they make decisions sometimes based on that personal opinion that they have of you, based on your politics, not on the person you are, not on your integrity, not on anything else other than just personalizing it to where you attack the messenger. And I don't think we need to go that far with it.
James and Harvey is listening, and he says, "I wonder what Nikki Haley is really thinking right now. She could have brought back some rhinos, a couple of women, a few independents, and centralized this party. Maybe she's looking at 2028 if the Republican Party is still Trump's party president or not."
You know, the other thing to consider, and I thought about this last night, I wonder if the Democrat Party is really trying to save the prime candidate for 2028. If they're trying to save the prime candidate for that campaign and not put him up as a sacrificial lamb in this campaign. Because, you know, a lot of people think Trump's going to win this. And it doesn't matter who the Democrats put up. I think it's so close. Excuse me. I don't think you can tell. I don't think anybody can guarantee that Trump is going to win or Trump is going to lose. So that's one thing that makes this interesting. We don't know who's going to win. But maybe the Democrats want to save their prime candidates, so they're not a sacrificial lamb this time, and they're saving them for the future. And maybe Nikki Haley is looking at that. But, you know, think about, I don't think America's ready for this, and that's sad because I'm ready for it, but I don't think America's ready for two women on the same ticket. And what if, Nikki Haley would have really broadened Donald Trump's appeal, but Nikki Haley would have been really great for Kamala Harris, because I've talked often about how I would love to see a presidential candidate from one party and the vice presidential candidate from the other party. I think that would just help heal the great American divide in many ways. Hey, I want to remind you that it's time for Saints training camp. So this is really the very, very earliest beginning of a new season. The Black and Gold team and WWL are in Southern California for the training camp that officially begins tomorrow, but the kickoff at camp is today. You'll hear from head coach Dennis Allen, executive vice president and general manager Mickey Loomis. They're going to hold press conferences, and then tomorrow is the first team practice, and Deuce and Haas and Nowick are there. They will be your eyes and ears in Irvine, California at the University of California. They're going to do post-practice breakdowns and the latest Saints news and player and coach interviews and information. And we've got a team right there with the Saints in California. So listen to all of it on Sports Talk and really throughout the day on WWLAMFMN.com and also on the free Odyssey app. All right. We are going to come back to wrap up the show. If we didn't get to your calls, I apologize. You can always send me an email. It's scoot at WWL.com. Scoot at WWL.com. Hey, listen, on this day in 2014, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin got a speeding ticket in her hometown of Wasilla, Alaska. She blamed her speed going 63 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone on Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55, which she was playing on the radio at the time. That's right, Sarah. It wasn't your fault. It was Sammy Hagar's fault because he said I can't drive 65 and you listened to him. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, NFL great Aaron Rodgers, who backed independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., says that politics in America is a sham. He's right about that. He is. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby Mike and Steve Geller. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank you for being part of the show. Hey, join me on Facebook and Instagram at Scoot on the Air. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans. The best thing to happen to Vanessa Williams was that she had those pictures released and that she gave up her crown. If she had just been the first Black Miss America, that would have been an honor, and it would have been a big thing. But because of what happened, she turned out to be a bigger star than she would have been had those pictures not come out. Let's go to... Oh, no, wait. Before we get to your calls, we got to go to Ian with some of your text messages.
About an hour ago, we took a call from Karen in Covington, who got a lot of people talking on the text line. Here's one that says, what is it exactly that Karen and others like her think vice presidents do? Could anyone listening say what exactly a sitting vice president's duties are and how Kamala has succeeded or not succeeded, and compare that to Mike Pence, Joe Biden, Dick Cheney, and Al Gore?
They go to funerals. They go to funerals of state leaders who die. That is the big thing that vice presidents do. Now, she was in charge of the border. She was put in charge of the border by Joe Biden, and, you know, that was a Charlie Fox trot. So she's going to be attacked on that point.
Here's a text that says, Dear Scoot, until the Supreme Court reversed Dobbs, I would have agreed with you that politics isn't personal. But when the life of my granddaughters, daughters, friends, and myself is jeopardized by the government meddling in a woman's body, that is more than personal. I can no longer ignore the real threat women have, and I will defend my sisters and their rights. Thanks.
Good, and I defend that too. And listen, I don't mean that politics doesn't have a personal impact on you. When I talk about personalized politics, I talk about how people are so sensitive that they take it personally if you have a different opinion. And they make decisions sometimes based on that personal opinion that they have of you based on your politics, not on the person you are, not on your integrity, not on anything else other than just personalizing it to where you attack the messenger. And I don't think we need to go that far with it.
James and Harvey is listening, and he says, I wonder what Nikki Haley is really thinking right now. She could have brought back some rhinos, a couple of women, a few independents, and centralized this party. Maybe she's looking at 2028 if the Republican Party is still Trump's party president or not.
You know, the other thing to consider, and I thought about this last night, I wonder if the Democrat Party is really trying to save the prime candidate for 2028. If they're trying to save the prime candidate for that campaign and not put him up as a sacrificial lamb in this campaign. Because, you know, a lot of people think Trump's going to win this. And it doesn't matter who the Democrats put up. I think it's so close. Excuse me. I don't think you can tell. I don't think anybody can guarantee that Trump is going to win or Trump is going to lose. So that's one thing that makes this interesting. We don't know who's going to win. But maybe the Democrats want to save their prime candidates so they're not a sacrificial lamb this time, and they're saving them for the future. And maybe Nikki Haley is looking at that. But, you know, think about, I don't think America's ready for this, and that's sad because I'm ready for it, but I don't think America's ready for two women on the same ticket. And what if, Nikki Haley would have really broadened Donald Trump's appeal, but Nikki Haley would have been really great for Kamala Harris, because I've talked often about how I would love to see a presidential candidate from one party and the vice presidential candidate from the other party. I think that would just help heal the great American divide in many ways. Hey, I want to remind you that it's time for Saints training camp. So this is really the very, very earliest beginning of a new season. The Black and Gold team and WWL are in Southern California for the training camp that officially begins tomorrow, but the kickoff at camp is today. You'll hear from head coach Dennis Allen, executive vice president and general manager Mickey Loomis. They're going to hold press conferences, and then tomorrow is the first team practice, and Deuce and Haas and Nowick are there. They will be your eyes and ears in Irvine, California at the University of California. They're going to do post-practice breakdowns and the latest Saints news and player and coach interviews and information. And we've got a team right there with the Saints in California. So listen to all of it on Sports Talk and really throughout the day on WWL AMFMN.com and also on the free Odyssey app. All right. We are going to come back to wrap up the show. If we didn't get to your calls, I apologize. You can always send me an email. It's scoot at WWL.com. Scoot at WWL.com. Hey, listen, on this day in 2014, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin got a speeding ticket in her hometown of Wasilla, Alaska. She blamed her speed going 63 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone on Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55, which she was playing on the radio at the time. That's right, Sarah. It wasn't your fault. It was Sammy Hagar's fault because he said I can't drive 65 and you listened to him. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, NFL great Aaron Rodgers, who backed independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., says that politics in America is a sham. He's right about that. He is. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby Mike and Steve Geller. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank you for being part of the show. Hey, join me on Facebook and Instagram at Scoot on the Air. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin got a speeding ticket in her hometown of Wasilla, Alaska. She blamed her speed going 63 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone on Sammy Hagar's I Can't Drive 55, which she was playing on the radio at the time. That's right, Sarah. It wasn't your fault. It was Sammy Hagar's fault because he said I can't drive 65 and you listened to him. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, NFL great Aaron Rodgers, who backed independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., says that politics in America is a sham. He's right about that. He is. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby Mike and Steve Geller. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank you for being part of the show. Hey, join me on Facebook and Instagram at Scoot on the Air. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.